Hour number two of the Blitz is starting right now. 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. Live in your Fan Run Radio app. Live in the Fan Run Radio web browser. A video feed over on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter. Big Orange Philly phone lines, they're open in hour two as well if you want to call in. Give your take on the quarterback drama. Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers. You know, whatever it is that you do in said situation, hey, let us know. Whatever you want to talk about today, we'll have you on. Again, 865-546-8200, your number to call in and join the program. Big Orange Philly phone lines are open. But how about we start off hour two with an opening drive. All right. What? Something funny back there?
Just sent us a funny draft idea.
That actually is that's a good one.
I kind of like that.
I can't think of that many different. I don't know if there's 10 different places.
Really? Can't think of 10 different places you'd want to have. Should we say it?
Chris suggested best place to have an ice cream cone is our draft today.
You don't think there can be 10 places you can have an ice cream cone?
In the shower. In the bath. Sauna.
That'd be a bad one.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe there are. Yeah, you know what? I think there might be. We'll draft that.
Okay.
Well, now you guys know what today's draft is. It's best places to eat an ice cream cone. Stay tuned for the riveting follow-up next week. Worst places to eat an ice cream cone. 1-1. Underwater.
Underwater.
I don't know. There aren't a lot of bad places to eat ice cream cones.
On the beach. With a windy beach so that you're just getting sand on your ice cream.
Windy beach. Maybe like the birth of your child.
That's a good place to do it. I feel like that's a celebratory cone right
there. Maybe. Anyway. Into the opening drive. First down. We got a battle of MVP candidates last night. Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, except we almost didn't. Unfortunately, Embiid had to sit out due to a right calf injury, while Jokic dropped his 29th triple-double of the season in a 116-111 win. Sixers sat Embiid and James Harden. Jokic, meanwhile, again, 25 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists. And afterwards, Jokic, the two-time reigning MVP, he dished out nothing but high praise for Joel Embiid, who's looking to win his first MVP. I think he's a great player, Embiid said. Jokic said of Embiid, I think he's going to get remembered as one of the most dominant players in the league. That guy's a beast, and he's so talented. He can affect the game in so many ways on the floor. Post up, face up, shoot threes. Continued on, just a bunch of high praise. So again, it was supposed to be one final kind of showdown between the two leading MVP candidates. Jokic just beat Giannis, the other MVP candidate, earlier this weekend on Saturday. That was the Nuggets' last game out. And he had 31, 11, and 6 in that one. While defensive player of the year candidate Brooke Lopez was on him. Really impressive performance, but pretty disappointing again that we did not get a battle between those two. MVP debate, man, it's been heating up too. Embiid leads the league at scoring 33.3 points per game, 10.2 rebounds a game. He started the month of March with 10 straight 30-point games, which was just an insane run. And The Nuggets kind of hit a rough patch in early March. They lost four out of five games, or four straight games. They lost five out of six, but I don't know. They've won four straight since. Jokic has had some pretty impressive performances. He's looking to become the fourth player to ever win three consecutive MVPs with Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell. Five triple-doubles just this month, and he's only one shy of tying LeBron for the most fifth most in NBA history. Saw an article. Oh,
Oh, you're good.
saw an article too. I don't know. I like the way that Jokic handled that. Embiid's kind of, he's really been public. Like, I deserve to be MVP. He wants to win MVP. He's been really about it. Jokic is just, hey, he's a really good player. Jokic is just out there hooping, man. He doesn't seem to care. And obviously he does. I mean, who wouldn't care about that? But hey, I like the way he handles it. But I read an article. I think it was Sam VCN in The Athletic the other day. Made some really good points. I think the MVP conversation this year has become too, like, negative based instead of, like, positive based, I guess. It's, I guess, kind of drowned in, like, negativity instead of, positivity. Like, we're getting incredible performances. Like, this race should be celebrated, but it seems like a lot of it's become, one side trying to attack Embiid and tear down Embiid and talk about why he's not as good, and the other side is people trying to, like, tear down Jokic and talk about why Jokic isn't as good. It's like, no, we're getting to watch, historically great players duke it out for the award to determine who the best of them all is. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, Jokic can't do this, that, and this. Like, Embiid's the MVP. It's like, no, Embiid's averaging 33.3 a game. Like, Embiid's, scored 10 straight, or scored 30 points 10 straight games in March. Like, Embiid's done this, or Jokic has done that. Like, these players should be celebrated. It's interesting what the MVP debate has kind of turned into.
Yeah, we've done a lot of finger pointing. Can't just have good players playing at the same time.
Who do you think wins the MVP?
Not Jokic.
No?
No. He won't win it. They won't let him win it, even though he probably should get it, I think. I don't know.
I'm in the same boat as you.
I'm guessing it'll be Embiid this year.
I think voter fatigue is a very real thing. If it wasn't, LeBron would probably have more MVPs.
Yeah.
But voter fatigue a thing. I don't think anyone wants to see Jokic necessarily. Like, I don't think anyone's against it, but, like, I don't think, it's just every MVP you win, it becomes harder to win the next. People just like to vote on someone new. People like to see someone new. People like fresh faces. Plus, Embiid has been really good this year. I would give the MVP personally, if I had a vote, absolutely to Nikola Jokic. But no, I do kind of have a feeling it's going to go to Embiid.
I agree. Second down here. Long time Giants reliever Sergio Romo officially called it a career last night. Pitched for the last time. Pretty cool moment. Giants playing back at home. Sent him off his last time. He faced three batters from the A's last night in the seventh inning. It was the last game of spring training for him. He's calling it a career. He's already out there on the golf course saying that's what he says is his favorite thing to do now is play some golf. What a career. 40 years old, played 15 seasons for eight teams. Spent his first 9 years with the Giants, so those last couple years was kind of bouncing around a bunch of different teams. Just one of those guys, though, that, want to kind of, it's just kind of, his face is kind of ingrained in your childhood memories of baseball almost. He's got three World Series rings. He was in six World Series appearances, a zero ERA in his World Series career. Went on to help the Giants win titles in 2010, 2012, and 2014. Every time I think of the Giants, I just think of Pablo Sandoval, Sergio Romo, and Tim Lincecum. Those are the three people that really, I guess Hunter Pence a little bit too. Hunter Pence was who went out there and took him out of the game yesterday. Emotional moment for him, was soaking it all in.
I love that they did it too. Just really cool.
Yeah, really cool moment. They said that Sergio Romo has been kind of on this whole retirement tour, I guess. For every little kid at like spring training that's been asking him for an autograph, apparently he's had these kids sign his hat as well, and he's been wearing that hat.
Aww.
Yeah, just a nice guy, man. He wore that hat last night. But yeah, just a great way to cap off a great career for Sergio.
Third down. Left or right, Sam?
Let's go right.
All right. Texas has named Rodney Terry their head coach, removing the interim tag. School announced Monday he got a 5-year deal. He held the interim role since December when, Chris Beard was suspended and fired after his arrest on third-degree felony assault. Under Terry, the Longhorns went 22-8, advanced to their first Elite Eight since 2008, and of course they won the Big 12 tournament. Just an elite team, really. Terry, he coached under Rick Barnes. He was a Rick Barnes assistant from 2002 to 2011. Took some head coaching jobs elsewhere, Fresno State and UTEP. Fresno State had 4-21 seasons under him. He ended up back at Texas. People really like Rodney Terry. I think there was a lot of concern, though, about really just, how good of a coach was he. I think the conversation when he got, promoted from the interim, to the interim head coach, at least when he got that interim tag, was like, yeah, he's a good coach, like people like him, but he's probably not a shiny enough name to get the full-time gig, probably not quite a good enough coach, not quite a good enough track record. And I think this is a somewhat risky hire. He did inherit a team that had a full foundation in place that was a senior lad and incredibly talented roster. Like, I think there is, again, some danger to like, okay, he held it together for the rest of the season and did some really good things. Like, here's a 5-year deal. But at the same time, I think the way Texas handled it, pretty good. I mean, I think you had to give him the job based on what happened and the way that those players responded to him.
Yeah, you can't have that strong of a finish to the season and go elsewhere with.
Especially with just what the coaching market looks like right now, too.
Yeah.
But I think they handled it well in the way that they set the contract up. It's a pretty cheap buyout. They can get out of that contract easily. So you gave him the 5 years, so that there is that, I guess, stability when it comes to roster building, when it comes to recruiting that Terry will now coach with. But, again, like, if it was a flash in the pan, if he did just kind of pull this team together, if he's not living up to your standards, the contract is a very escapable one. You can get out of that thing in 2 years, no problem. I'll be very interested, though, to see how Rodney Terry does with that program now full-time.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Fourth down here, Connor McDavid keeps plugging along in the NHL, having a historic season. Last night picked up an assist, his 140th point of the season last night. He's the first player in the NHL to reach that mark since 1995 and 1996, where it was Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. Both for the Penguins as well. He was the first Oilers player to do it since Wayne Gretzky in 87 and 88. And became the seventh player in NHL history with 60 goals and 80 assists in the same season. McDavid's running away with the MVP. It's crazy that we're watching the best hockey player since Wayne Gretzky, and he's just kind of just kind of rotting away up there in Edmonton. Nobody really, you know, if you're not a huge diehard hockey guy, you're not going to probably see Connor McDavid play every night. It's kind of a shame that we've got just so much talent and history going on right now in the NHL this season with him. And they just do such a bad job of marketing their best players.
I don't know. I think they don't do a terrible job. Like,
I think NHL is probably the worst in, like, in all of professional
sports. No way. That's egregious. No way they're the worst, man. The MLB is 10 times worse at marketing their players.
No. I think the MLB's kind of gained a little ground lately.
I mean, I don't think they do a bad job of marketing McDavid. I think it's just, you know, people that watch hockey, people that don't. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe McDavid will finally break through this year. Maybe Ekholm's enough to, like, push that team forward. He's been doing some good things. NHL playoffs, man, they're coming up soon.
Yeah, should be a good time. Always is.
Could be the first one without the Preds in a very long time, though. That'll make me a sad,
so.
Sad man.
No, I hope so.
Shut up. Sinister. No, shut up. No. Sinister break. Sweat. I said sinister break. Get us out of here. Let's see. We got to do our daily final four tickets check.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Are they going to come down under $80? This is the question. So holding strong at a firm. Actually, no.
Dropped.
We dropped. I accidentally clicked on. I clicked on the all sessions and the all sessions. So that means final four and championship. $125 now
for a ticket to both games.
For both to go to the final four. So you get three games, both final four games in the national championship for $120.
No way.
Final four tickets are $89. National championship tickets are $70. I just like, is UConn gonna travel that well? And if they don't, is anybody? It's just such a big stadium, and like turns out they can play this thing in the Civic Coliseum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meet all their needs. Checking over on Ticketmaster, just gotta get a couple different points of references.
Ticketmaster words. How can it get any worse than
you can go to the net? You can go to the final four for $60.
No, I mean, if I lived anywhere close to Houston, I would be 100% getting a ticket.
You can go to the national championship on Ticketmaster for $64.
What's like a nice lower bowl seat?
A nice lower bowl seat. Final four, national championship.
I'll splurge. Give me the national championship.
Nice lower bowl national championship seat. Let me do some scrolling.
If I can get this under like $200 or $300, it's wild.
Still scrolling. There's just so many upper deck tickets available. I mean, I think every seat in the stadium is for sale.
Yeah,
I'm gonna sort my best seats.
Someone
now
has officially bought a ticket so far.
Yeah, like
it might not be one sold.
Have we gotten word about that? I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah, you can sit lower bowl for less than $200.
Let's go.
You can go to a national championship game and sit like 30 rows from the court for like $185. I got a buddy in Texas that texted me that is wanting to go. I don't know if he'll end up going or not, but he wanted to go, and he texted me a screenshot last night. And he was like, is this right? He was like, is this for both games, or like, does this mean that like I have to buy a ticket to the first game and then like to the second game? I was like, no, that's right. He goes, they're $130. I was like, no, they're gonna be less. He's like, well, when should I buy them? I was like, probably 5 minutes before tip off, because at that point they're gonna be $30.
That's wild. Yeah. What is like, what do you think? Wow. Sorry. I just got, wow.
You all right back there?
Yeah. I just got texted like a tweet. Former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum, who's now an NFL reporter after working in NFL front offices for over 2 decades, revealed in his latest mock draft on Tuesday that he has Hendon Hooker going to the Seattle Seahawks with the 5th overall selection.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Right? I mean, exactly. That's exactly the reaction I just had.
Pardon me?
Former NFL general manager thinks that he's the 5th overall pick. I don't know, Mike. I don't think Hendon Hooker's in the top five conversation if he doesn't tear his ACL.
I think he's in the first round conversation right now, though,
Yeah, no, I can
which
say
is
that. I
weird.
can say
Didn't
that.
think that would
Yes.
happen, but the top five
It
conversation
is
is crazy.
absurd.
They were talking about it on the Pat McAfee show the other day, how I don't think that, yeah, there's not enough talk about Hendon Hooker, how he's big and accurate, moves around well.
Yeah, I mean, he's experienced too. I think
Can
that
you
he's.
send me that tweet? Mike Tannenbaum?
Mike Tannenbaum. I kind of want to see what his mock draft is.
Yeah, I need to see the rest of this, please.
Right. Like, is it
Gosh.
Anthony Richardson 1-1 or?
That Theo
Will
Ash guy.
Levis. Levis to the Colts in this mock draft. That's good for us.
That one Theo Ash guy. That just like is annoying and
Yeah,
talks fast on TikTok
yeah,
and gives bad opinions.
yeah.
He has a 5th round grade on Hendon Hooker. I typed in Hendon Hooker to see if I could find his tweet, and instead just a tweet from him is the first thing that popped up. And it just says, I'm not convinced. His scouting report starts with, I'm not convinced Hendon Hooker is a real person. He might just be a robot designed to throw footballs. Well, first of all, if they designed a robot to throw
It's kind of a
footballs,
weird.
I think I'd want him as like a first round pick.
Yeah, that's a good. I feel like that's kind of a compliment. Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft has the Titans taking Anthony Richardson.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Did Mike Tannenbaum get fired, or like was he a good GM?
Well, I would assume if he's an NFL analyst, he probably wasn't the greatest GM.
Let's figure this out. I just saw a picture of this guy. I would not trust him to like pick out toilet paper, let alone an NFL roster. He was the GM for the Jets, and he was the vice president of football operations for the Dolphins from 2015 to 2018.
Glory days of the
The
Dolphins.
first article that pops up when I type in Mike Tannenbaum, five worst moves made by Mike Tannenbaum. Let's read them. Let's see. We'll judge his mock draft. The fifth worst move is just signing cornerback Andre Dyson. So maybe not that bad. Fourth worst move is trading Leon Washington. All right. Remembering how boring the Jets are very quickly. Third bet worst move is drafting Vernon Golston, considered to be the biggest bust in Jets history, taken 6th overall in 2008. Second worst deal, trading for Lito Shepard. I'd say that's probably a bad deal, given that I don't know who that is.
Nope, heard of
No
him.
idea who that is. And then the worst thing he's ever done is cutting Chad Pennington to trade for Brett Favre. Yeah.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, you can't let go of Chad Pennington.
Okay, you know what? I don't think he's that bad of a GM, given that none of those things stand out to me in the slightest.
Yeah, it's probably just the Jets, you know? Jet beats.
But I mean, that's a wild mock draft. I still can't believe that that's a mock draft.
It's, if we see Hendon Hooker fifth overall, I'll spin the wheel 1,000 times. 100? I'll spin the wheel. If Hendon Hooker gets drafted fifth overall, I'll spin the wheel once for every single rest of, like, from fifth overall to Mr. Irrelevant, I'll spin the wheel that many picks if he goes fifth overall. There's just no way. There's no way.
Just absurd. If he's drafted fifth overall, we will go to a Seahawks game in Hendon Hooker jerseys.
I'll walk to Seattle for a football game if Hendon Hooker goes fifth overall.
No, if legitimately, well, right hand up. I state your name.
I Sam Beard.
I Charlie Collier. Will.
Will.
Go to the Seahawks home opener.
Go to the Seahawks home opener by foot.
You don't add the by foot. No, we're not adding the by foot thing in there. Don't do that.
I'll do it.
You're putting your right hand up, man. This isn't something you want to go back on.
If he's the fifth overall pick.
If he's the fifth overall pick, we're buying seats within the first 10 rows of the field at the Seahawks home opener in Hendon Hooker jerseys if he gets drafted fifth overall.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny, though. What if he just gets drafted like fourth overall instead?
Well, not fifth.
Not fifth. All right, we'll catch a break. I guess we're drafting best spots eating ice cream cone on the other side.
Okay.
All right. All right, it's Tuesday, which means it's time to draft. Today, I still don't know if we're going to be able to get 10 things out of this.
Yeah, when I was thinking about what I was going to do, I was struggling a little bit. But we'll figure it out. I mean, you need ice cream anyway.
I think I had some good ideas, too, like 20 minutes ago, and then I forgot all of them.
Yeah, they kind of slipped my mind. Like, once the topic originally came out, I had some decent ones. And
now I think I'm going to just spend all my time trying to remember what I had instead of thinking of something new, too, to just be quite honest. But, I guess I have the first pick, right? You picked first last week?
Yeah.
Best place to eat an ice cream cone. Give me, on the patio outside of the original Frizzo's in North Knoxville, or North Downtown.
Okay.
The original Frizzo's, a Knoxville staple. I've been trying to get a shirt there for like 3 years now. A Frizzo's shirt. And they keep telling me that they're ordering more shirts soon, and they just keep not having a 2X. But I'm going to go with outside of the original Frizzo's.
Okay. I'm going to go, like the ice cream store at the beach at night. You know, like a nice little post dinner, walk to the ice cream shop.
Beach ice cream shop.
Yeah, beach ice cream shop.
Yeah, that's a good beach one.
Ice cream shop. Little post dinner, a little sea breeze going through the air, and you got a nice cone. Eating it outside in the nice weather. That's what I'm going with my first pick. For my second pick, I feel like we're going to get really weird here, like pretty quick. You know, normally in the drafts, you get like 3 picks that make a lot of sense, and then the last two, you can kind of go anywhere.
I don't think any of these are going to make sense.
My second pick, I'm going to go to the zoo.
That was going to be one of my picks. Okay, that was actually, yeah.
I'm going to go to two. I think, like...
I thought more about it, though. I think that's actually a bad place to eat an ice cream cone.
Because if it melts all up on your hands and stuff, you got sticky hands
Yeah.
looking at animals.
I just feel like I've had sticky hands looking at animals like four or five times in my life. And yeah. I just don't want that to happen a sixth time.
Yeah, I get that.
That's why
hands was a turn off for me, but I don't know. There's just something about, like, just walking around the zoo, looking at some nice animals. Like, you got to eat that ice cream cone with some efficiency, though.
Sure. All right, so you got...
I've got the
beach.
Yeah.
Beach ice cream shack.
And the zoo.
The zoo. At night, too, I'll add for the beach.
Okay.
I'm going to go after with your buddies after a Saturday afternoon summertime rec baseball game.
I like that.
Like, man, you just played in like a your FBC, your Franklin Baseball Club tournament game. Saturday at 2 p.m., man, you're sweating. You had a good time. It's hot out. You just pop over by the Baskin-Robbins. You and a couple of your buddies, man. Yes. This is the life.
Yeah.
We just won our big game. We're on to the semifinals.
Still got dirt
this is
on
the
your
most
hands.
Important moment of our lives at this point in time in our 12 years of life that we can maybe win an FBC championship. And, yeah.
Walking into your store.
We got another big game coming Monday night. But, like, we got still the cleats on, the dirty pants, and just a big scoop of strawberry and a waffle cone.
Yeah, I like that. I had a really good pick that I was in my mind before you said that, and then I just started, and then it just completely came out of me.
That's the same problem that I had. Yeah, I had a really good one, man. I had a really, really good one, and I just don't know where it went. Best time to eat an ice cream cone.
After a baseball game. Man, I'm just trying to think of what triggered that thought in my head.
My next pick. At a 4th of July.
Hey, that was what it was for me.
A 4th of July. Fireworks party.
That's exactly what.
After you've eaten like a good dinner, but as the sun's starting to set before you get to the fireworks.
That's exactly what mine was. 4th of July ice cream.
Back to the drawing board. You still have to come up with three picks.
Yeah. Maybe not the best place. I'm picking some bad locations, maybe. Does this count the same as yours? I'm just going to go, like, watching a baseball game, not, like, after the act of playing a game.
That doesn't count the same, yeah.
Is it just a casual
baseball game? I thought about it.
It's a casual baseball cone. I don't do it often when I'm at a baseball game, but I feel like every single time I'm at a baseball game, someone walks past me with an ice cream cone, I'm like, that looks pretty good. Like, I would get that. But then I never end up doing it. I don't really eat ice cream at a baseball game, but I think that looks good.
I've had ice cream at a Nationals game.
I've only had them out of the hats. Like the
That's hats. I've had a nice ice cream cone at a Nationals game a time or two. It does hit.
It hits, okay. Well, I'm going to go baseball game.
Oh, I just remembered my last one. Oh, but I forgot my other one. No, I remembered them both. Okay. Just don't pick either of these two, and I'm good. I got my draft finished.
Okay. My fourth one. Sleeper here. Your grandparents' house. I feel, at least for me, I feel like my grandma, like, always had ice cream cones, like, in her pantry. Just, like, the really bad, like, sugar cone ones that just get it, like, a restaurant or whatever, and yeah, I would just always have like an ice cream at grandparents' house.
See, I was never much of a cone guy growing up. I always liked the bowls because I'm a messy guy.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it. I learned one day, I was like, man, if everyone got their ice cream in a cone instead of a bowl, just in the world for like a year, we would reduce waste by an unbelievable amount.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's like you can either eat your ice cream out of something that will never disintegrate and will like pollute our planet forever, or here's this tasty treat that you just eat.
Think about how
And
many plastic straws.
then the choice for a cone becomes pretty easy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, every person that gets a cup of ice cream in a plastic spoon instead of a cone, you're just doing a little bit more to hurt the earth for your own convenience. Just keep that in mind next time you're at the ice cream shop. Which, by the way, do we have any Baskin Robbins around here? Now I want some ice cream.
No, I don't think.
I've always wanted I love Baskin Robbins. I think it's by far the best ice cream. And I think that I'm going to say this, Cruz Farms kind of sucks.
I've only been there twice.
Everyone just hypes up Cruz Farms, and like I get it, you know, it's shiny and on Gay Street, and they wear their little fancy little farm dresses, and you know
Isn't the
the
cream that's not
aesthetic.
on Kingston like way better?
Yeah, I have been to that one. The pizza is good. The ice cream is still just good, but not like great
Okay.
ice cream. But yeah, like I've always thought that Cruz Farms just low key kind of sucks, and it's kind of like the Calhouns on the river. Like maybe it was good, but it's really not anymore, and it's probably just still living on its name.
Yeah, it is living on its name. I agree. I agree.
Anyway, back to the topic at hand. You're gonna have to really stick with me on this one.
I've got a good one, you too. I'm gonna make sure.
I just wrote mine down. I don't know if this might not hit home for a lot of people, but if you've ever been on a cruise,
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick.
I don't know what it is about
That's a
cruise
first round
ships.
pick.
Cruise ships, for some reason,
Yeah.
just have ice cream machines like everywhere.
I think I had 150 ice cream cones on the cruise that I went on.
Yeah, like every.
It's like four different
I don't
ones.
know if someone like made a law back when they were making boat laws back in the day, like, hold up, if you're gonna have a boat this size, it's gotta have nine ice cream machines, but just it won't even be next to food.
No,
It'll
it'll
just be
just out
like
in the middle.
you're just here at the pool, and on the side of the wall there's just an ice cream machine that has multiple flavors and cones, and you can just at any given it's free.
It's a great pick. It's a great
At
pick.
any given time you can just snatch a cone and fill it with the ice cream. And there's always just kids there just seeing how big of ice cream cones they can make, and you make the different shapes. It's always soft serve. It's always delicious. Just a midday. For me, it was like I would spend most of the day on cruise ships growing up playing pickup basketball.
I never liked the basketball.
I would go play pickup basketball for like 4 hours, then go eat like three ice cream cones. You've been hot, sweating, the sun's out, and then just go play like 4 more hours of basketball and then like meet my grandma at bingo and go to dinner. And like that would just be 13-year-old me stay on the cruise. They could have just taken me to like Chicago and like just had me play at a basketball court next to a Baskin Robbins, and it probably would have been the same day-to-day experience. But
Not
now I
the same. Not
loved
the same.
going on cruises, and those ice cream cones are crazy.
That's a good thing. It's a good
And my
pick.
final pick, a Midwestern dairy bar. Feel like the Midwest is just full of dairy bars. And that's what I imagine. I just imagine if I go to Madison, Wisconsin, there's just like 15 ice cream shops
Yeah, I mean,
within a mile of campus.
they're probably pretty.
And I've been like in some of the time I've been in the Midwest, I feel like there's just been dairy bars that you just pop into, and no matter what, there's just a great like feel inside the place, and the ice cream's always great.
Never been to a dairy bar, so I don't
You
know.
gotta go to a dairy bar. There's one up where Taylor College is in northeast Indiana. It's pretty famous, and I can't remember for the life of me what it's called, but it's good. Just places like that. What's your last pick?
All right, my last pick. No free milk, but I'm gonna give like a restaurant specific answer. Is that all right?
Is it Jason's Deli?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's all right, but
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a Jason's Deli.
Really?
or had their ice cream.
Okay. I mean, pretty average restaurant, I would say. Now, it's not nothing's gonna knock your socks off from Jason's Deli. But at least for me as a kid, like I remember going to Jason's Deli, and then it's just like you just destroy your meal because you're just so excited to run up there and get a salt and just get a soft serve cone of ice cream. It's a similar concept to the cruise ship.
Wait, so it's just free?
It's free. You don't have to pay for it.
Can I just go into Jason's Deli and eat ice cream without getting food?
No, you actually 100%. Like nobody would question you. Probably.
Why did no one tell me this? You're telling me I live next to a free soft serve machine for like 3 years, 4 years, and no one ever once let me know, like, hey, if you just want ice cream, you could just go get some for free?
Yeah, you could have gotten, I mean, they're assuming that you're dining at the restaurant, but I mean, you just sit in a booth.
Hey, assumptions, man.
Destroy ice cream.
Yeah. Assumptions get you nowhere.
Nobody's stopping. Nobody was.
I heard that the Jason's, when they build the apartments, the Jason's Deli is going to come back. Like, I heard it's going to be one of the storefronts on the bottom floor. Really? So if I'm still in Knoxville whenever those things open up, I can just remember.
Yeah, we'll get free soft
serve. Free soft serve. I think Chris had to go into a meeting, so I don't know who won. I sent him a screenshot of our picks. We'll see if he has a winner for us on the other side. But
yeah, maybe at best bet we could.
Well, we'll hit a quick break. We'll get to best bet, see if we get a winner. Good draft.
Yeah.
All right, wrapping up the show like we always do. Run out of time, too. That, really took longer than I thought. Turns out there actually were 10 good places to eat ice cream cones.
Yeah.
Maybe even like an 11th after a high school football game in a Dairy Queen parking lot. I mean, come on. But we do have a winner. Chris has declared his winner, and it's I, Charlie Collier, your Tuesday draft champion. Is that back-to-back weeks, or did you win last week? What did we draft last week again?
The American
draft. Oh, yeah. I got screwed on that. I'm still upset about that. Anyway. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I won that one. You're just... I don't know. The measuring system was a good pick.
And?
I'm not on board with the cutoff shirts.
No.
I'm not on board with the cutoffs. Anyway, best bet. We're out of time.
I'm going to head over to the ice here, and I'm going to take over 6 in the Lightning and Hurricanes.
Love it. I'm heading back to the NIT.
Let's go.
Can't get enough of the NIT, and we got some semifinals tonight. I might have a pick for Wisconsin, North Texas. Not sure yet, but this UAB-Utah Valley game, I think, is going to be a blast. I think we're going to get a really fun game, and I think I'm taking Jelly Walker and the boys to get it done. Utah Valley's had an easy path to the semis. UAB's looked really good getting there. Give me UAB -4.5. That's my best bet, and that'll do it for today's show. For Sam Beard, I'm Charlie Collier. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have an entire MLB preview for you at some time this week, too, either today or tomorrow. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But again, for Sam, I'm Charlie. Y'all have a beautiful rest of your day. John Reed, Talk Sports, they're up next.